All right, Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you so much for this day. God, you're so good to us. Just rest in that. Just soak in his goodness. His grace, his mercy is renewed every day. Thank you for taking care of us. We love you so much. Lord, we just pray that when I open up my mouth, you speak with power and love and compassion. And Lord, just lives are transforming, not by the power of my words, but the power of your word in scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it's all about the title sometimes. You know, sometimes you have to have the right title, otherwise people won't click on your message. So I got a little bit of a backdoor on this one. But the title of my message is to How to Live Life Without Regret. Anybody have some big regrets in life besides myself? Hello? Okay. I got some big ones. All right. You know, and let's just say social media will never let you forget those mistakes. All right. I'm doing a series. I chopped my message down by a third. So how to live life without regrets is what we're talking about. Today we are talking about eliminating excuses from your life. And everybody goes, don't worry, I'm the queen of excuses, and I'm just going to lay myself out before you guys of all the excuses. I was talking to Rachel the other day, and I was like, I'm not even going to give you an excuse. I'm just distracted. Freedom comes from ownership, right, and repentance. So we're going to jump right in. Because let me say this, God does not want you tormented by your past mistakes. He sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die on the cross for our sins, to take our shame. So we don't have to be tormented by that. And he gave us a new life in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things become new in him. In fact, when he ministered to people in the Bible, he would say, hey, your sins are forgiven you. Keep moving forward. Don't look back, but don't keep sinning, right? Go and sin no more. So there's incredible freedom in just accepting Jesus's just incredible forgiveness and love. And by that, by the way, it's never a mistake if God uses it to help someone else. Has anybody had some really embarrassing stories in life besides myself? And you were like, oh, maybe I shouldn't share that, you know? Ugh. But you know what? If God uses it to help someone else so they don't either take that same path or they stop beating themselves up in shame saying, hey, I was a royal mess like all the people God used in the Bible, and he's using me so he can use you. It brings freedom and healing of hearts to other people. Therefore, it's worth it, right? So good. So don't hold on to your story. Share your story. And when that tug comes in your heart, don't question. Oh, they're going to see me different. No, they're going to see Jesus in you because he gets the glory. There is nothing God can't rework for all things for good, right? Romans 8:28, when we pray and share our story, God will rework that, and he's going to bring good things out of it and help other people. So like all honest human beings, I have tons of regrets. I'm sure everyone here does. I have so many, like, oh my gosh, it's so funny. Where did it really root with in my life is I grew up really insecure. I had a great mom and dad. I mean, they're wonderful. It wasn't their fault. I just grew up, for some reason, I was wired super insecure, cared way too much about what other people thought of me. Oh man. And you know those things that people say on the school bus that you still remember 42 years later? And just they just haunt you, you know. I won't even repeat them, but things that just kind of, that people, Satan uses words of other people that they say flippantly. They're not even trying to hurt you and make you feel less about yourself, but Satan will just, every time you're stepping out to do something, you just hear, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, all these things. So the root of a lot of my excuses, like I said, laying myself out there, super insecure. I had no idea who I was until my late 20s. I didn't like social media because I felt like I was always comparing myself with other people, because on social media, everybody else figured it out way sooner than I did. So I was like, I'm not even going on there until I was 29. You know, when you don't really know who you are and it's not rooted in Christ Jesus, sometimes we take the long season of trial and error, because that's how we learn, by our mistakes, and that's sure what I did. And like I said, lots of embarrassing stories, but my goodness, they make great teaching points in youth group, which isn't recorded, right? So I was definitely a late bloomer in every capacity in life and also in ministry, because I would rather hide on the back row. By the way, I have to sit on the back row because I have a child and a zillion, so I'm not poking anybody on the back row. But I am saying, like, I personally went through a season where I just, you know, if you make eye contact with a person in the front, they call you up front. And then they're like, here's a mic, right, Rachel? Sit on front, and you're going to share testimony. You know? So I was, like, trying to just avoid eye contact. I, at the end of the day, I was always comparing myself to other people in ministry, and I just never felt good enough, spiritual enough, talented enough, smart enough, knew enough scripture, so I was just avoiding it at all cost. So I became really good at giving excuses when opportunities would come, how I wasn't ready, I wasn't able, I wasn't qualified to step out in ministry for what God was calling me to do. I just felt different. I felt like I didn't fit. Anybody else feel different, like you just don't fit? And that's how God created us, every single one. He actually created all of us different. He doesn't want you to look and talk like your favorite minister or preacher. He wants you to be you because you will reach people that no one else can reach. I took a really long time to figure that out, but it's one of my great excuses. I felt like I stood out like a sore thumb in any minister's meeting. I would probably dress like Ms. Frizzle every day. Anybody remember the Magic School Bus? Like, I love her outfits, like flamingo feed and like ridiculous dresses. I mean, I would do that. So I just didn't feel like I kind of fit in with the rest of the ministers out there on top of, you know, I'm a girl. Did you guys notice I'm a girl? Yeah, I don't know if you noticed that. Like, we have women preachers here. So like I said, I used every excuse to run from the calling of God in my life, especially when it came to public speaking. Man, I would come up with any excuse I could to delay speaking at someone else's church or youth camp. I have a friend in the audience, in the congregation today that asked me to speak at their youth camp. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. I was like, I'll pray about it. I'll get back to you. Oh, I was like, God, how do I get out of this? And I couldn't. And it was so funny. I thought it was going to be a small little thing. And then it'd be like a lot of people. It was actually more people than I ever spoke to in my entire life. And you know, when you need Jesus, he shows up. And I thank God I didn't, you know, give it a big excuse for that opportunity. So anyway, while we go into this message, I'm going to say I'm the queen of excuses. So I'm not preaching at you. We're going through it together, right? But I did blow 10 years of my life. Like 10 years is called a decade of my life. I was not the one that ran up to meet a challenge. I was the one of send someone else. Here, let me call. I can call someone for any challenge on my phone. I have a number for someone that's better than me in my phone. I will send them. Like I said, just really good excuses. In fact, I delayed obedience in speaking to in an adult service until my 30th birthday. It was actually my 30th birthday, which you'd think I just want to sit in the front row and eat cake. And I was like, I can't be disobedient anymore. I have to go do this. All right, so there's so many regrets that I have in life, and we have no time to share all of them. But like I said, I wanted to lay myself out there before we threw ourselves into it. So I'm asking everyone to go on a journey with me. Come with me on a journey of eliminating excuses from our lives, whether it comes just in any area in our life. Let's not make excuses for ourselves. Let's not make excuses for other people. And let's not give excuses to God. We will be not only healthier, we will just be, we're going to look more like Jesus. We're going to talk more like Jesus. He gets more glory. It's not about us. We'll be a healthier church and individuals. And we're going to have way more adventures in life. You will never be a bored Christian because bored Christians cause problems in churches. Real talk. Leaving it at that. Okay, moving on. All right. So, you'll never be bored again. All right. So we are going to work on eliminating the excuse habit from our lives, therefore eliminating regret. All right. So how would our lives be different if we stopped making excuses? If we stepped out more in boldness? If we prayed for people out loud? When you go, oh, I'll pray for you, what if you just put your voice, I do this all the time because it messes it up. I put my voice text on and I will just pray my prayer out loud so they know I just didn't pat them on the back. Yeah, I'll pray for you. And then I'll go back and fix all the edits and they called them the wrong name or whatever. But, you know, praying out loud and praying for people in that moment at the grocery store. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Can I pray for you right now? You have pain in your knee? We just tell that pain to go right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus took that pain to the cross and we thank you. The healing power of God is moving through your body, whether you see it move right now or it happens like the fig tree. And no matter what, God is always moving at the cellular level. Amen? Amen. Amen. We would see a lot more answered prayers and miracles if we would just stop making excuses and obey. I'm working on it. All right. So in scripture, God would call someone totally unqualified, total mess. In fact, he normally picked the messiest people. And he'd say, hey, I'm calling you to do something for me. And what would they would do immediately throughout scripture? They would give huge excuses, such as, not me, how about this guy? This is mission impossible, it's too big for me, I am not qualified. And we still do the same thing today. So read the word and look at the wild things God does through people totally unqualified. He will use you too. So let's talk about what is an excuse. We're gonna define it, okay? And we got some little slides coming up. An excuse is an attempt to lessen the blame attaching to a fault or offense. It is an attempt to lessen the blame attaching to a fault or an offense. How many people know I have plenty of faults in my life? You know, pick a number, right? But we're trying to lessen it. So how many people have been in a car accident and it's really tempting to blame it on the other person? But you know, we're normally 50% of the problem. So, I did this, but did you see what they did too? Okay. They should have been paying better attention because I ran the stop sign. What? Okay. Rant. All right, number two, an excuse is this, it's to seek to defend or justify. So when someone asks you, well, why haven't you finished that report yet? You know, your boss comes up to you and our immediate response is, well, because, but. If we can eliminate because and but out of our lives, myself included, whew, it'd be a really good thing. So Matthew 5:37, I like the Berean Standard Version, really cool version in the Bible. It says, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Wow, they didn't like sugarcoat that. Just say a simple, the New Living Translation says, just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Because. Why? Because excuses normally are just lies that we tell ourselves that hide the true motives in our heart, which is avoiding pain. Or like for me, just super insecure, just so afraid what other people are going to think about me. No, not feel, I'm afraid I'm not going to be good enough. I'm not good enough to leave. Excuses are lies we tell ourselves that hide the real things that's going on in our heart. Number three, what is an excuse? It is a transfer of blame from ourselves to someone or something external. Okay? So it's my schedule's fault. I'm so busy that I'd have no time to volunteer at Miss Jerrell's event. Because Miss Jerrell's like the busiest person in the world. Busy is a mindset, right? Miss Jerrell, we're all busy. But I'll tell you what, who is number one in Miss Jerrell's life? Jesus. That's why she shines with the joy of the Lord, which is her strength. Okay, but we're not blaming our schedules. Okay, I don't read my Bible because I don't understand it. That's. Sometimes there's words in there we don't understand. That's okay. But I'll tell you what, I have so many testimonies. My mom was supernaturally healed of dyslexia by reading her Bible. She would tell people she cheated all the way through college. She graduated from York College by a wing and a prayer, okay? I'm telling, she, because reading was, like, that's a, you know, a condition in your brain. God's got to rewire your brain and heal it. And why she was determined to read the word. I'm going to persevere. I remember her advisor told her that she should just not be a teacher. Yeah, you know, this isn't for you. She could use that as an excuse. So she, when she got born again, she was reading her Bible and the Lord healed her brain. She's not dyslexic. She is a voracious reader. If you ever see my mom, there's a stack of books she's always reading. So don't let that excuse keep you from obeying the Lord to read the word, or even just, you can listen to it, you know, get your Bible app and just listen to it. And if you have a translation you don't understand, please talk to me. I will find one that translates without losing the power of God's word, but uses language and words you understand. It will transform your mind. Also, you grow in your vocabulary. You get smarter by reading the Bible. All right, so other excuses we tell ourselves, oh, that mistake, it wasn't my fault, I wasn't trained properly. Oh, I know we've all, ooh, you know, but we could ask questions, okay? How about this one? I didn't intend to get drunk, I just didn't want to be the only person there not drunk. What? All right, fine, okay. Okay, this one I used my entire pregnancy. I gained 50 pounds, like if I had to be exact, 48 pounds eating homemade ice cream. Do you know why? My excuse? It's homemade. It's good for you. There's no preservatives. You can eat twice as much. Full fat. It was so good. I don't care. I have a very healthy, smart baby, so it worked out. Excuse. Okay, here we go. I ate the whole thing. The whole gallon of ice cream because I had a rough day, okay? I hate my job, but I am way too tired to apply for other jobs. Okay. Been there. Yep. All right, three reasons we make excuses. It is the straight up blame game. We blame something or someone else to get out of trouble. All right, mankind did this from the very beginning. Open up to Genesis if you'd like to. Okay, remember Adam and Eve given a very, very simple instructions. Okay, parents, you know when you leave the house and you're like, just don't burn the house down and use the microwave. Very simple instructions, you know. Very simple. By the way, my students did not burn the youth group down on Thursday. They were amazing. We had like a candlelit dinner. It was incredible. So much fun. They were amazing. They were so just, I like teared up when I saw them. We had our formal and preached the gospel with identity in Christ. And it's just so much fun. But hey, you know, don't burn the house down, right? Simple instructions. I'm focused. Here we go. So God leaves the garden to them and he says, hey, have fun. Go on adventures. Okay, subdue the earth. You know, multiply, okay, just this one thing, don't burn it down. No, he says this is one thing. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of and good and evil, okay? Why? I just had this revelation of God wants us dependent on him for wisdom and knowledge. God wants us to go to him as a source of what is right and wrong. In this church, we call sin, sin. Really simple. You know, it's liberating and freedom when you say, I have sinned. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me and giving your grace to empower me to not do it again. Hallelujah, right? So he's like, okay, so don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what'd they do? They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, okay? And God goes, why? Okay? So Genesis 3, 11 through 13. Here's what they said. The Lord God asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? Simple instructions. Adam replied, it was the woman. Everybody go, if you got your wife beside you, it was the woman you gave me, God. You gave me her, okay? It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it. Okay, really? Okay. And then the Lord turned to the woman, because he's like, okay, you know what, you want to do that? All right, fine. The Lord turned to the woman, and he goes, what have you done? And she says this, the serpent deceived me. So finger point to the woman, finger point to the serpent. And she replied, that's why I ate it. So Adam blamed his wife, okay? And the wife blamed the serpent, said the serpent was just smarter than me. Okay, so why don't we just say, we sinned, we messed up. It's really quick to blame the government for our financial problems, you know? Oh, we just blame, you know, and I'm gonna be careful how I say this, you know, maybe your mother or father wasn't a part of your life, or maybe they were horrifically abusive. I'm not gonna downplay that. But we are not victims in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You are not a victim. You are a victor in him. Amen. And no matter what you went through, no matter what words were spoken over you, no matter how much they hurt you, amen. God says, I will not allow that to define you. You are the righteousness of Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things became new. And I'm going to use you. Joyce Myers, man, she's the most powerful. Like, I don't want to say the most powerful. She is one of the most recognized women in the world. And she went through horrific abuses in her life. I'm not going to let how I was raised define who I am or what I'm called to do, or my future. That is all rewritten in the blood of Jesus. Amen? Yes. Amen. Second reason we make excuses, avoidance. That's what I did. To get out of responsibility, because how many knows we have enough going on in our lives right now? Excuse? It's an excuse to delay or get out of something, out of extra things that God is calling us to do. Now, not everything that someone asks you to do, God is calling you to do, you are allowed to say no, okay? All right, so let's talk about Moses. God called Moses to go before the Pharaoh and lead his people to freedom. Now, the Lord God set the people free, right? He just needed someone else to kind of be the face and speak what the Lord was telling him. So he called Moses. You can go back and read it in Exodus 3 and 4. So when God called Moses, Moses' response was, but who am I to go before Pharaoh? I'm a mess up. Man, he was a convict. Like, he murdered someone. He actually was in exile. I mean, he left the country so he wouldn't get locked up. I'm a mess up. I'm a murderer. And I work a thankless, dirty job. I'm a rancher. I just work with sheep. I change diapers all day. Whatever, our excuse is. Then he says, I'm not a good communicator. I stutter. I have a speech impediment. Then he goes, hey, the people don't know me. I wasn't raised among them. Who am I to say, hey, I'm going to lead you? False humility is probably the lamest excuse. Because remember what our excuses? They are candy-coated lies we tell ourselves that really are just hiding the motives of our heart. It's just insecure. Moses was a great man. It's just insecure. Based on his past, he kept beating himself up. God, we often try to remind God that we know more about a situation than he does. You ever have excuses with God? Oh, no. Listen, God, I know me better than I know you, and I'm so not ready for this. He's like, yes, you are not, and that's why I can use you, because I will get the glory. Amen. So Moses finally asked God to just send someone else, and I've spent so much time doing that in my life. When I felt the Lord calling me to come back home, because I swore I'd never come back home, I flew in and begged someone to take the position. I literally flew in. I was like, what do you need? I will create a position for you. How much money do you need? Please don't move to Florida. I hate Florida. Ugh, man. All right. Send someone else. How many times has God knocked on the door of your life saying, I need you. I need you. Because you have a voice in someone's life that no one else does. You have that relationship that the little minister on TV doesn't have. He's sending you to bring comfort and encouragement. He is sending you to share your story, to share testimony, to put your hand on their shoulder and release the healing power of God in their life, to bring freedom to them, okay? Maybe even to sow financial help because they're praying, oh God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. My family, we're going to lose our home. And God wants to work through you. But we hesitate, we question, we doubt, we make excuses, myself included. I'm not good enough, I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not experienced enough, I'm not old enough, I'm a single woman, I used to be an addict, I'm divorced, I'm not educated enough, I'm not qualified, but, because. God will use all of that. All of it. He wants to use you. So we're going to take a funny moment, no names, okay? So sometimes we complain to God like a high-maintenance woman going shopping. By the way, I don't like going to the mall because people walk too slow. I have way too much to do. People judge me. You're like on the mall? I'm like, no, click, online, buy, return, fast, okay? So like a high-maintenance woman going shopping, okay, we pray for God God, use me. God, what's my calling in life? What would you like to do in my life? I'll do anything. God, please use me. And when opportunities come, oh, it's just not quite the right style. It's not really my color. It's just a little too long. I don't know. Do you have a coupon? Do you have double coupons? It's just a little too dark for my taste. Sorry. You catch the pattern. It's all about me. You're praying for God to use you. Oh, it's just not quite exactly the way I want it. All right, I had a family member, no names. I refused to take them to the mall. Refuse. Because every time I would take them to the mall, oh my gosh, we would spend hours and hours and hours, and she would pick every single outfit apart. Oh my gosh, it just minuscule and picky and couldn't commit, just buy it. And finally, it's like, I will buy it for you. Let's do this. Yes, we have the receipt. It's fine. Pack it up. We're leaving right now before she changes her mind. We take it home, and then I'd find out secretly 2 weeks later she would return it. This happened like 4 times, and I was like, I'm not going shopping with you anymore. Why? Because if people don't want to change, they're not going to change, right? Don't waste your time, okay? Don't waste your time making excuses for yourself, and don't waste your time making excuses for other people. We do it. We do it for the ones we love the most. We're feeding them those candy-coated lies. And it's only keeping them in an unhealthy place. All right, speak the truth in love, though, right? Okay. Excuse. I did this one all the time. It's just not the right timing for me. you know, I'll just wait till my kid is out of diapers, you know, I'll just wait till I get married, till I have more help, I'll wait till I'm not so busy, I'll wait till I have more money in the bank, I'll wait till I'm retired. And then the retired people say, well, I'm retired. Okay? All right. I'm just not ready yet. God never calls you when you're ready, right? Because then you don't need him. And it'll be all about you. He will totally call you when you are totally not ready and ill-equipped because you go, God, help me. And he's like, I got you. Welcome to grace. All right. Third reason we give excuses. Denial. Denial to get out of a personal problem. All right, here's a fun story. Okay, so we know our Moses, okay? So Moses, after giving tons of excuses, finally just obeys. It's so much just better if you just obey God, because you'll just keep having that conversation. All right? So he leads the Israel out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. Everything's looking good. Miracle after miracle of deliverance, signs and wonders. And then God's like, hey, Moses, hey, I want to go kind of go up the mountain and just meet with you, okay? And so Moses goes, okay, well, I should leave someone in charge, right? Parents, you leave and you get the firstborn in charge. I'm sure we all have stories on that one. Okay, so he goes to Moses, his brother, right? And he's like, hey, Moses, you're the high priest. I'm leaving you in charge. You know, some people feel qualified on the surface, right? Okay, whatever. All right, so we'll leave it at this. So he's like, okay, you should, yeah, you're in charge, Aaron. The problem with Aaron is he cared way too much about what people thought of him, including myself, right? Okay. So he leaves Aaron in charge. Oh, there's like really nice ways of saying these things, but this is just what happened. Okay, Exodus 32, verse 6. All right. So Moses takes a while to come off the mountain, and then people start getting nervous. They start getting antsy, and they just think Moses must have died up there. And then they start getting, you know, the cat's away, the mice will play, right? They start complaining and grumbling, which is what they're really, really good at. That's why they call them children, complaining, grumbling, whining, okay? And they're like, hey, Aaron, we're so tired of a God we can't physically see, so we want you to make us a God we can see. We often build gods in our own image, right? We create theology that aligns with what we want to do, all right? So they're like, they created this idol. So Aaron says this. He said, okay, everybody, give me all your jewelry, all your gold or whatever, and they melt it down, and they form it into a golden calf. This is how it happens. Exodus 32, verse 6, New Living Translation, says, the people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings, and after this, they celebrated with feasting and drinking and indulged in pagan revelry. I looked that up. I went to some commentaries. I was like, what is pagan revelry? It's a PC term, okay, right? The NCV version says, sinned sexually, okay? The New American Standard Bible says, engaged in lewd behavior. All right, W.C. Kaiser said that actual word pagan revelry translates to drunken, immoral orgies and sexual play. Now everybody's awake and paying attention. Welcome to church. Okay. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's what happens. Like Moses just leaves them a few days and just they go crazy, okay? What's so funny is they get up early at the crack of dawn. You know those people that you cannot get them out of church, out of bed to get to church on time ever? Ever. Unless, okay, I can be a late person. All right, I get it. But, you know, like, never. They just, you know, they're just sliding in after worship, okay? Not, there's nothing wrong with that. Not judging you. I know all the offended people. Oh, stay! Okay. But, you know, it's like they make excuses why they can't get to church. But they will get up at the crack of dawn to set up for a big old party, roll in the keg or whatever, just so they can start day drinking early to get drunk enough to get frisky with their neighbors. Still awake. Good job. Okay, that's what happened. That's what happened. I'm a youth pastor. It's fine. Okay. So Moses comes off the mountain and goes, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Parents, you come home after leaving the firstborn in charge. What have you done? Okay. So Moses goes to confront Aaron of this sin of idolatry. And here is Aaron's lame excuses and the blame shift. And we've all done lame excuses and blame shift. Okay, Exodus 32. 22 through 24, New Living Translation. Don't get so upset, my Lord, Aaron replied. You yourself know how evil these people are. They said to me, make us gods who will lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. It's your fault, Moses, okay, whatever. It's the people, it's Moses, whatever. It's the leader's fault. So I told them, whoever has gold jewelry, take it off. And then they brought it to me, and I simply threw the gold into the fire, and out jumped a golden calf. It was wild. You should have seen it. Oh, my gosh. All right. So Aaron starts making excuses. Everyone's doing it. I couldn't help it. It's really not that bad. It's not a big deal. I can quit anytime. Okay? The Bible doesn't apply to all modern situations. The Bible doesn't say anything about smoking weed for fun. It's organic. Quiet. Okay. All right, I have to address this one because, my goodness. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:12, New Living Translation. It says, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. Good for you. It's not good for you. Okay? You know, once again, you know, meeting my, just my, my homemade ice cream, so good, but not really good for me every day. Even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any of it. How many people know that if you can become addicted to something, or maybe you think you can handle it, but you tell your friend it's not a big deal, but they can't handle it, we've caused them to stumble. And it's destroyed lives. So Aaron blame shifts. It was the other people making me sin. It's the other person's fault. I was pressured into it. Finger pointing at others so we don't look at our own sin. Why do we like pointing out other people's sins? Because if you look at their sin, you're not looking at mine. That's called religion and is the most damaging thing in the church. That's why the Bible says, hey, deal with your own junk. Deal with your own junk. Take the log out of your eye. You try to take a speck out of someone else's. If you are so good, I talked to someone one time. I won't even, no, oh my gosh, they're not here. They're not here. They don't go to our church. It's fine. But they're like, I was like, so what do you think like your gifts are like in the spirit? I really feel like I have the gift of correction. It's not a gift of the spirit. I worked really hard to explain that to them. But no, they just felt they had a gift of pointing out all the problems on people's lives. And, you know, the answer is always Jesus, but spent more time pointing out the problem. Damaging. Religious spirits just destroy churches' lives. That's why people don't go to church. Okay, that is not in the Bible, the gift of correction. Okay, so. All right, so Aaron makes excuses. He blame shifts. And then he just finally straight up lies. He chose to not accept responsibility for his mess up. And he denied he sinned in the first place. So Proverbs 30, verse 12 says this, there are those who are clean in their own eyes. I didn't do anything wrong. I just have the gift of correction. I'm just very discerning, okay? But they are not washed of their filth. Ooh, all right. So how did Aaron get to this point of gross, deep self-deception? Number one, he was not walking really close to the Lord, and he was not hanging out with the mature Christians that could just probably just say, hey, that's not a good decision, right? So Moses was that mature Christian that he was running the race with, and, you know, there's that separation. They stopped hanging out, and all of a sudden it's a lot easier to kind of fall back into the lower standard of the people around him, okay? He stopped walking close with the Word of God, what the Lord had called the people to do, which is not to fall into idolatry. So, yeah, exactly. Proverbs 16, verse 2 in the Amplified says this, all the ways of a man are clean and innocent in his own eyes, and he may see nothing wrong with his actions, but the Lord weighs and examines the motives and intents of the heart and knows the truth. So the problem with self-deception is you don't know you're deceived. The problem with self-deception is no matter how many times, you don't know you're deceived, right? So you got to keep close with a circle of people that don't have the same problems as you, right? We all have different problems. Hang out with people that have different problems. No one's perfect. I get it. But someone that sharpens areas that are weak in your life and a mature Christian believer that will hold you accountable and always keep the Word of God before your eyes. So Proverbs 4, 20 through 21, New Living Translation says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. King James Version says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So no more excuses I don't like to read. You can have an app. It can play it out loud for you all the time, right? But if you read a chapter a day, you must read it in context, okay? If you read a scripture a day, that's low bar here. And also, you can cherry pick things that make you feel good about yourself, and you forgot, you know, like really good loving correction in the Bible. Like it's like a sandwich of like, yeah, this is what I've called you to do, and you know, the grace of God in your life, and I love you, love you, love you, and now this is a sin. We're going to call sin, sin. Okay, I love you. Let's repent. Okay, now we're going to move forward, right? It's all sandwiched in there, and you can just cherry pick the sugar. How many people know if you live off sugar, you're going to be really unhealthy? There's some meat in there too. How many people like steak? You chew on it, okay? Sometimes you got to really chew on it to digest it, all right? But so you got to read scripture in context. So if you rely upon your time with the Lord is just like your app that just sends you the scripture of the day, that could just be the sugar every day. They normally don't send you the tough stuff. And that's also how you kind of can get into a cult because you don't know the whole Bible in context. All right. So the danger of living a life of excuses is we easily start to slip into telling our own selves lies, right? So start with excuses. Now we start lying to ourselves. Now watch what happened. He starts lying to himself, making excuses. And next thing you know, he starts believing his own lies. And then he starts lying to other people. What are excuses? Candy-coated lies we tell ourselves that hide what's really going on in our hearts. Hebrews 4:12, ESV version, English Standard Version. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. How many people know your emotions will lie to you? Satan loves using emotions. You're like, oh, God just is mad at me. Well, why do you think God's mad at you? I just don't feel him. He's not a feeling. If it required feelings to have faith, you wouldn't need faith. Faith, right? Okay. Your emotions will lie to you. So if you need to divide, hey, what's my emotions? What's guilt and what's shame? What's other things that people said over my life that is not what God said about me? You need to read the Word of God. So the word of God will divide mind, will, and emotions, what's going on in your life, of spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Amplified Classic Version says this, the word of God will penetrate to the deepest parts of our nature, exposing the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. You know what a two-way conversation is with God? You just read the Bible and just, it could just be, you don't have to read 20 chapters, but just go, God, what are you trying to say to me? What do you think about this? If you read something you don't understand, ask him. And just wait and just see what scriptures kind of start. You know, there's just probably sometimes a scripture that just jumps off the page. Like you might read that one scripture 30 times. God, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to say? It's him highlighting something. And he'll start penetrating deep things in your heart. Start dealing with those excuses, those lies, might just start giving you direction and calling. You might start thinking of, like, you see this scripture and it just, you just can't shake it. And all of a sudden you keep thinking of someone and it's not ADD. It's like, oh, A plus B equals C. Thinking of this scripture over and over again, keep thinking of the other person. I should text them. I should call them. I should give them this scripture. Moving in a prophetic word doesn't have to always be weird, right? It could be really simple. But I'll tell you, if you get obedient in the small things, he'll give you more. God talks to me in pictures all the time. It aligns with his word. How do I know it's not me? Because I'm in the word. Okay. Where do I want to go here? Thank you, Lord. All right. It's good to be obedient. So Aaron allowed the pressure of people-pleasing to direct his leadership decisions. I have been there. I've had to repent for this. I'm a people person. I love people. I want to help people. I want to make them happy. But if we allow that to direct what we're called to be and what we're called to do, we'll fall into sin ourselves. We have to be obedient to the calling of God in our life. Aaron allowed people's grumbling and complaining and criticizing to motivate the decisions he made, and he fell into sin. Whoever you fear the most, you'll serve. Do you fear God or do you fear people? Do you fear people's opinions or what God says? We can often be influenced by cranky, fickle, complaining people. That's what happened, you know. Oh, there's so much I could say, but I'll tell you, read the story of Moses and Aaron. It's good stuff. All right, I want to touch on this. Um, You know, as parents, sometimes we're exhausted. I don't even know how much sleep I got last night. I got a 4-month-old, okay? And sometimes we are just too tired to correct our whining kids. Have you ever had a moment? Like, I'm just so tired of saying no and explaining why. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Okay. And a kid maybe grumbles and complains, like, I don't want to go to church. I want to go to the pool instead. Okay, so we allow that to direct the leadership of our family, and we say, okay, that's fine. You know what? We'll just watch it online and sleep in. But next thing you know, we're only going to church once a month because we've allowed the whining and complaining of that family member to direct the vision of what God's called you to do. Maybe God has called you to take care of an elderly neighbor. You've heard it in prayer. And there's a family in church that did that, and that's their story to share. But God put it on their heart that there was an elderly person that was in ill health and they were alone. And God said, you're going to take care of them, okay? But then your family starts complaining, I don't want to mow their lawn. I don't want to do this. I don't know. It doesn't matter. This is what we're called to do as a family, right? Maybe the Lord has called you to, like, adopt a single mom in your neighborhood, and you're like, you know what? We're just going to buy their groceries. We're going to buy their groceries for a whole year. And your spouse is like, oh, no, listen, you got to be in agreement with the spouse. Start praying together, right? But you got to be careful to not allow whining, grumbling, complaining, no matter what's going on, to determine what the Lord has called you to do. Is it okay to touch on that? Also, I say this. Remind your kids who wears the pants in your family, okay? All right, you are the king and queen of your home, okay? And you are surrendered to King Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And whatever the Lord has called you to do, that's what you're doing as a family. All right. We have to be strong enough to override grumbling opinions to do what God has called us to do. So once again, Aaron allowed popular public opinion to lead him. And he chose to not accept that personal responsibility for his failures. And he denied that he even sinned. And sometimes, so what do we do, Pastor Sherry? You know, okay, how we get out of that situation is surrounding ourselves with mature Christian believers that holds accountable, staying in the word, reading it in context. Okay. And then this thing called repentance. Repentance is amazing. We're going to talk about it in another week. It's joyful. Do you know why? Because I'm free. Repentance means, Lord God, I messed up. I own it. I sinned. I'm going to call sin, sin. I'm not going to make excuses for it. And now I surrender it to you. It was nailed at the cross 2,000 years ago. You died for my sin and my shame, but not so I can stay in it, but so I can turn and change my ways. Repentance means to change your ways. That means make a 180-degree turn, not a 360, and keep doing it again and over again, asking for forgiveness. I'm sorry I got caught. No, it's to change our ways. And then healing and freedom comes. So 1 John chapter 1, 9 through 10 in the King James Version says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. A life of freedom and truth starts with repentance, okay? Saturate yourself in the word. It's easier to hear his voice. Just be quick to obey and quick to repent when we mess up. John 8, 31 through 32, Amplified says, so Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word and continually obey my teachings and living in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples, a follower of Jesus. So if you follow Jesus, you follow Jesus. You follow his word. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Sometimes saying that little fire insurance prayer, just so I don't have to sweat it out, it means to follow him and stick with him in his word and obey him, okay? And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. So when we walk in truth, we walk in freedom, and we walk in blessing. So Proverbs 28, 13, Amplified says this: he who conceals his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and turns away from his sins will find compassion and mercy. Repentance is joyful. I can just lay it at his feet. God, you forgave me. You got me. You've delivered me. You set me free. You've empowered me by your grace to be who I'm called to be you on this earth. You are transforming me in your image. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I am not transformed in the image of the world and the opinions of the world. Their ways of doing things can be kind of goofy. Lord God, I can't fix myself or change myself. How many people know if you got a tumor, cutting out that own tumor is not, you can't really do it, right? You go to the doctor. Jesus is the great physician, okay? And his word is that scalpel that'll cut through things. God, I can't fix myself. I'm messed up. I'm sick. I'm going to lay myself on the altar. I'm going to get on the operating table, and you are going to cut out that cancerous thought, that lie, that sin out of my life. You're going to stitch me up, no scars, and I'm healed and whole. It's good to allow him to transform you in his image. All right? James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. And the heartfelt, persistent prayers of a righteous man is able to accomplish much when put into action, the Amplified Bible says. And made effective by God. It is dynamic. That comes to the word that word dynamite comes from. So dynamic, powerful, explosive, and can add tremendous power. All right. Fourth reason we use excuses. I wasn't sure if we'd get to this one, so let's do it. Okay. The fourth reason we use excuses because we're just straight up lazy. Did your toes just curl in? Just like stepped on them? Now remember myself. Hello. Okay. We're lazy because we want to avoid doing what we just don't want to do. Why do we give excuses? I just don't want to do it. You can just say that. I don't want to eat your Brussels sprouts. I'm sorry. I've tried eating Brussels sprouts my whole life. I'll eat pretty much anything. I will eat anything, but something about a Brussels sprout, no matter how much bacon grease you put on it, and that's pretty much the only way I'm going to eat Brussels sprouts. After about four bites, I get a gag reflex and I can't get it down. Like I just, it, you know, just say, you know what, I appreciate, but I don't want to eat your Brussels sprouts, but I love you. Would you like some ice cream? No, okay, moving on. All right. Proverbs 22:13. Miss Jerrell, you're going to love this one, okay? Okay, excuses. Okay, the lazy person claims, there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed. So, Miss Jerrell, you know when you're trying to recruit people for a city outreach? Oh, it's in the city, but it's in the city. Okay, prayer for York. We pray for York, and when it be hosted at a city church, people are like, I don't feel comfortable driving. It's in the city. I could get shot. I'm like, it's 7 p.m. It's broad daylight. You are going to be fine. Well, I just don't drive at night. That's okay. Carpool. You have like a whole month to find somebody for the 24th to carpool with you. It's okay. I'm not knocking you if you don't night drive. It could be a medical condition. I will pray for that. But carpool, okay? So sometimes we're just lazy. That's what it says. It's the Bible. It's not me. Quoted the Bible. Proverbs 22:13. The lazy person claims, there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed. See? Okay. Can't shoot me. All right. So a coworker calls you for help, and it's right before 5 o'clock, and you make up an excuse. Oh, we just straight up make an excuse. I don't want to get in trouble with the missus. Oh, yeah. You know, you really just don't want unpaid overtime. You don't want to get stuck in traffic. You really just want to go home so you can get there early so that 30 minutes before dinner you can conquer the new video game you got because it's awesome. Okay, this is, you know, we give excuses. Okay. It's really because it's inconvenient and we just don't want to. Okay. Remember the Good Samaritan? Don't have time for this story. Remember the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan was not too busy to help someone that was inconvenient. They were beaten and left for dead in a ditch. You know who was? The two religious folk. They made excuses and they walked on by. God will send you to messy situations and hurting people. Let's be honest with ourselves. 2 Timothy 4:2, Passion Translation. It's really more of a commentary, like the Message Bible. It says, proclaim the word of God and stand upon it no matter what. Rise to the occasion and preach when it is convenient and when it is not. Amplified Bible says this, keep your sense of urgency. That means like, man, Jesus, you could come back any day. Keep your sense of urgency. That person could die any day. People get in car accidents all the time. This might be your only opportunity to share your story and pray with them to receive Jesus. Keep your sense of urgency. Whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome, obey Holy Spirit. That we make excuses because we're good at them, including myself. I'm just too tired when you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit to help in kids ministry. So we kind of call in, just a little scratch in my throat, just can't do it. It's really because we stayed up till 2 a.m. like on the Netflix-a-thon, because sci-fi is awesome. I love sci-fi. I have so much trouble just staying. Okay, moving on. All right. We don't set our alarm Saturday morning to go to men's prayer. Although our friend said, will you go with me? I'm going through something. They feel awkward going to men's prayer by yourself. You're like, oh, I'm just tired, or just, you know, whatever. Make excuses. We make excuses when we're invited to a new grow group or go to a barbecue with someone from church. We make excuses because we just want to avoid the effort of making a new friend. We're insecure. We're moody. We're worn out. Why? Because we probably just haven't gotten enough time in the Word, and we're just kind of feeling some sort of way. We often take the path of least resistance, because I'm going to just address this, because this is something with myself. I was often coming up with excuses. I was exhausted. Not going to make any excuses. I made decisions in my life that made me extra tired, okay? And I was too physically, emotionally tired to obey God. We're often tired because we're abusing our bodies. Okay, the Bible commands us to rest. You know what the Sabbath means? It actually is the Hebrew word for rest. It doesn't have to be a 24-hour block. It could just be turning off Netflix 20 minutes early, and I go sit in my stained, overstuffed chair, you know, just, you know, or just put your Bible app on. Like, I'll just have it play, like, before I go to bed while I'm with Zeke, and Brad and I pray together at night, just releasing burdens and weights. Just rest. Take some time to rest. So we're often exhausted because we abuse our bodies, and also sometimes we let people walk all over us, and we need some just healthy boundaries. And I'm going to talk about what's healthy and what's not, what's just an excuse, okay? If we are exhausted because we're allowing people to abuse our time or abuse our relationship, where all they want to do is just call you up and vent and dump on you, and they don't want to pray, they just want to, like, tell you all their problems for 2 hours, okay? And venting all that drama is just exhausting you, okay? So the Bible commands us to not only be in the Word every day, but to rest physically, emotionally, and spiritually, okay? So you need to rest. And you know what? Take your Bible to the beach. Take your Bible to the boat. Take your Bible to the pool. My dad had this wrinkly old Bible that was totally water warped for when he'd go to the hot tub. It was his hot tub Bible, okay? So go rest, but do it with him, because what God wants is rested up and recharged up with him to then go have adventures and work with him, not for him, with him, okay? So God did give you the power to say no and set some boundaries, okay? You need to take care of your marriage. God first, then your marriage, then your kids. You got to take care of your kids. That's really, really important, okay? You need to go to work and have a job. So if you stay up till 3 a.m. every day listening to people vent and talk about their problems, okay, you're going to probably be terrible at work. So there are these, you know, just basic healthy boundaries, okay? So you can recharge and then be obedient to go be with him. All right, but we don't want to use boundaries as an excuse to be selfish. You follow me? Okay. God has called us to hurting people, messy situations, things that do take your time and are painful. There is a partnership with Jesus that there is suffering in this world, and he's called us to partner with him and people's pain and bring them to Jesus, okay? So you can't use that boundary to not be obedient to the Lord and not make your life a living sacrifice, okay? Because we are energized with him in his word, right? Taking care of our body, resting our temple, to be empowered with his grace to go help people. All right. Luke 14, 16 through 24. Passion Translation and Amplified. Jesus replied with this parable. A man invited many to join him in a great feast. When the day for the feast arrived, the host instructed his servant to notify all the invited guests and tell them, come, for everything is ready for you right now. It's ready. The timing is right. Okay, listen, for my mom's birthday, I made her a leg of lamb. It is like an all-day thing. Killed the cauliflower. Murdered it. It was just disgusting, but the lamb was good, okay? But it takes a long time, okay? So long time prepping the food, and now it's ready. Right, Deb? Deb, run the dinner bell, the dinner bell, the whole thing. Call the whole family and the neighbors' neighbors, right? We brought them all. Oh, Rachel's coming on over, and Rachel's bringing the neighborhood. Okay, we got it, right? Dinner's ready. Ding, 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 the bell. You know, some people have been sowing into people's lives, telling them about Jesus. You know, sometimes, I can't remember the statistics, whether it takes 7 times you tell them about Jesus or 12 or 13. We pick a random number, whatever. But it takes a long time, and then all of a sudden, it's the time. They're ready. They're ready. And God is calling you to be that last person to bring them into the kingdom of God. Or they'll finally receive prayer for healing in their body. They're finally ready. Okay, so he says, call everybody. It's ready. Ding, ding, ding. The feast is ready. The leg of lamb's ready. We're ready, ready, ready. Okay. But one by one, they all made excuses. One said, I can't come. I just bought some property. I have to go look at it. Okay, so I understand people buy houses online. I feel like it's a bad decision because it's kind of, it's crazy to go buy a house. Houses are a lot of money right now. We have a small house, okay? It's just a lot of money that goes into houses. And you don't even walk through it. You don't even get a tour, even a virtual tour. Okay, this is a crazy, dumb excuse, okay? Verse 19, another said, please accept my regret. So sorry, I can't come. For I just purchased 5 teams of oxen, and I need to make sure they can pull the plow. Who buys a car without test driving it? I mean, come on, guys. Okay, yeah. Verse 20. Another one said, I can't come because I just got married. Okay, guys, I get it. That means God has called both of you together. Okay, so make sure you check in and pray about things that you hear together. But you can't use the fact that you have a family or responsibilities, whether you're, I can't because I'm single. I use that a lot. I can't, I'm single. I'm a woman, you know, I like makeup. I love heels. I can't preach, okay? You know, you can't use the excuse that you're busy. Everyone's busy. These are kind of ridiculous excuses. God will use you in every stage of life, period. Every stage of life, he will use you. Verse 21, the servant reported back to the host and told him all their excuses. The master became angry and said to his servant, go at once throughout the city and invite anyone you find, the poor, the blind, the disabled, the hurting, the lonely. Invite them into my banquet. The Message commentary translation says this, all the misfits, call in all the misfits, all the people that look the part, that seem really qualified, that went to seminary, you know, and, you know, just they wear the suits and have the 20-pound Bible. Sorry, they're too busy being religious. But you know who I want to use? I want all the misfits. I want everyone that doesn't fit. I have space for you. I'll take all the homeless. I'll take all the people with issues. I'll take a whole church full of ankle bracelets. I have place for you. God wants to use you. There is plenty of room. All the misfits, all the homeless, all the down and out. Verse 22. The servant, after returning, said, but sir, what you have commanded has been done, and there is still room. And then the master told the servant, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them in to come in, that my house will be filled with guests. For I tell you, not one of those who were invited in decline will taste my dinner. I am asking you to go on a journey with me. With me. There's a really beautiful song. I didn't ask anybody to sing it. We're not going to sing it right now. But there's a song about, I will make room for you. I was listening to it this morning. But let's go on a journey to make more room in our lives for him. And let's just eliminate excuses, myself included, queen of them. Because there is so much room in the kingdom of God, and people are dying and they are hurting and they're dealing with depression and anxiety and panic and fear. They're plagued by their shortcomings, and God is saying, I want to use you and your story to bring healing and freedom in their life. Yeah. Open up your mouth. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about what you're going to say. You just open your mouth and start talking. I'll fill it. Just say, can I pray for you? Do you have anybody in your family that's sick? You know, are you having trouble sleeping at night? Can I pray for you? The greatest blessing and the greatest adventures await us when we stop meeting God's invitation with excuses and just humbly respond and say, God, I know I'm not qualified. I know I'm not ready. I know I'm not equipped, so I'm not even going to bother telling you, which I just did. But I receive your grace, your divine empowerment to do what I cannot do on my own strength. In my greatest of weaknesses, you are the strongest. Be glorified. Let's do this together. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. So you guys can stand up and we're just going to pray. And just my challenge to you is, what if we approach this year with a different mindset and attitude? We would get different results. Let's kick regret in the teeth. No more haunting what ifs. We're going to approach a new season as a church with faith and confidence instead of fear and doubt and excuses. God wants us off the grandstands and off the bleachers, and he wants us on the field. He loves you so much, and you are qualified in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I was just going to pray, and we're just going to just say a prayer, just repentance, including myself, because my goodness, to preach it, you have to do it. Holy Spirit, search our heart. Search our heart. We surrender all of our excuses, Lord. All the delays in our obedience, we lay it at your feet. And we thank you for forgiving us. I don't even have to ask you to forgive me. I thank you for forgiving me. I repent. It's not just I'm sorry. I am choosing to change my ways. I am choosing to say yes. Holy Spirit, search our heart. If there's anything you've been asking us over and over again to go do with you, not for you. Someone that you've called us to speak to, encourage, invite over for dinner, start a Bible study. So financially into. Holy Spirit, just search our hearts. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. And I just pray we just say yes, in Jesus' name. Just search your heart. Lord, thank you for forgiving us for our excuses. I thank you for your empowerment of grace to do what we cannot do in our own strength. And we thank you for opening up more windows of opportunity to obey. We're not going to beat ourselves up for things that are missed. It's onward and upward, no looking back. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'd like prayer, we would love to pray with you. The altar ministry team is coming forward, or grow group leaders. I think Liz is not here today. So, and you guys are dismissed. We love you. Grab some coffee and hang out.